The message today, like father, like son, typically it's a statement with a period, but it'll play on words there and a little bit with the message, like father, like son. And so that's kind of the Father's Day theme message for today. Let's go to First Chronicles. I'm pretty excited about this. I don't often preach from the genealogy list in Chronicles very often, unless it's Jabez, right? But let's go to First Chronicles chapter 3 and a wonderful word of God. Of course, then we're going to springboard from there. This, of course, is the genealogy of King David. And then, of course, you have Solomon and then his sons after him, the descendants of King David. So you have here 1 Chronicles chapter 3. You'll find the Samuels. This is Old Testament, by the way. You'll find the Samuels. You find the Kings. And then you find the Chronicles. And so most of us don't even turn there very often. But let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 3. And then let's go to verse 10. We'll start there. This, of course, will be, a list of kings. These are descendants of King David. And so, of course, the oldest son would typically be king, crowned king after the dad. And so this is not just a list of kings, but it's also a list of dads. Okay? And so let's read this. 1 Chronicles chapter 3. Let's go to verse 10. It says, "And Solomon's son was Rehoboam, Abiah, his son, Asa, his son, Jehoshaphat, his son, Joram, his son, Ahaziah, his son, Joash, his son, Amaziah, his son, Azariah, his son, Jotham, his son, Ahaz, his son, Hezekiah, his son, Manasseh, his son, Ammon, his son, Josiah, his son," and the list goes on, okay? But we're just going to read and focus on the first verse 10 to 14 for today. But again, these are just a list of the kings, okay, the descendants of King David. But of course, as we see the list here, it doesn't inherently tell us right here in this list, but as you read through the kings and the chronicles, the kings of Judah, one thing that would be so prominent that comes up that you can't miss it is that every time a new king ascended the throne, the Bible typically, God typically tells us right off the bat if he was a good king, that he did good in the sight of the Lord, or a bad king. Yeah, or a bad king, either good or bad, right? Where he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And, even now, but let alone when I was a new Christian, when I was reading the Chronicles and the kings, like, oh, wow, what a good king. This is pretty awesome. Israel is serving God. Judah's on fire for the Lord. And then another son, the next son ascends the throne. Now he's king, and all of a sudden he does a 180. And like, what? Where did that come from? And so you have good kings or good dads and good sons, but you also have evil dads and evil sons. And it kind of got me thinking here, like father, like son. You know, that's how we say it. Oh, like father, like son. But how true is that? Or is it true? Spoiler alert, it's not, okay? It's based on a factor that we might not at first consider, but I believe the Word of God will make it very clear to us. And again, as we read through this, at first I would say, "Whoa, that's kind of random." We have this list here, good king, bad king. It almost seems random, but again, it's anything but random, and it's not random at all. And another disclaimer: this message is not so much about our dads. This message is about us, not about my dad, not about your dad, but about me and you. Again, there's no perfect person, so hence no perfect parent. I get that, and there's no perfect mom, there's no perfect dad. It's not to excuse sin. Sin is sin. And my friend, if you've been wronged, my heart goes out to you. If you had a rough childhood, abusive parents, I'm so sorry for your pain. But at the end of the day, you still need to choose Jesus. And so may we have an open heart to what God will have for us today. And then before I get ahead of myself, let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessing again to be in thy house. Thank you for the scriptures here as we read in the Chronicles this list of kings, but also this list of dads and sons. And at the surface here, we can't tell if these are good dads and sons or evil dads and sons, but we'll find out in a little bit more here in your word. But Father, help us not to just point the fingers at others, but really to personalize the scripture, because what would your word say of me if I was in it? Oh, what a thought. Amen and oh me. And so, Father, help me, help all of us to have that personal relationship with you, Father, not ride on Dad's coattails, not to just assume that if we have a goodly heritage that we are good to go. Neither may we despair that if we have a wicked heritage that we're just doomed. That's not the case. May we be fully persuaded in our own mind, because we all individually will stand before you. We thank you for our parents. May we honor mom and dad. That is a commandment. Whether they be good or evil, whether they've done well or not, that is irrelevant, Father. That's a blessing if they have. But Father, just because one party does not fulfill their commission does not absolve the other. And so, Father, we want to honor mom and dad. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you above all things that you are the perfect Father, the Father to the fatherless. And so, Father, bless now this time the preaching and teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. And so, like father, like son, we'll find out. And so, it's a very humbling passage because if you and I were in the Bible, if God were to write about my parenting or about us, how we were as a child, what would God say about us? I'm glad I'm not in here. I'll just say that, okay? Praise God. Now, these guys are, and so, but may we, again, not point fingers at them, but really internalize it, because there's a greater lesson, a principle for us to kind of take away from that. And so I hope this message gets to be a little bit more interactive, okay? Maybe, you know, and not to say we make light, it's not to make light of God's word, but, you know, just to get some interaction, you know, as we go through each king. You know, if I felt led, I can ask, you know, who says it's going to be a good king? You know, who says evil king? Oh, okay, we'll find out together, you know. And it's not to get it all right, okay? The whole point is, in fact, the message is better received if we get it wrong, okay? God, that's the whole point, okay? But Solomon, of course, King David's son, we know this. David was the second king after Saul, a man after God's own heart. And so now he's passed on. And so his son, verse 10, takes the throne. And Solomon, he comes on the scene, a man of wisdom. We know the glory of Solomon with gold everywhere, gold, right? And so the question number one, like father, like son, was Solomon like his father? Kind of a trick question, because kind of, but not really, right? And so was Solomon like his father? And so let's go to 1 Kings. Let's go to 1 Kings. And so we're going to be going back and forth between Kings and Chronicles. So there's, you know, be kind of give a heads up on that. And so I'll make sure that we give enough time to find it. But sometimes there's more detail in Kings, and then sometimes Chronicles, vice versa. So they both speak a little bit more collectively. You get a whole picture on what happened. But let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. This is the account of King Solomon. Because I want us to be thinking, like father, like son, and then what is the truth revealed to us about ourselves? Okay, so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, this is about Solomon. And right off the bat, the Word of God tells us towards the end of Solomon's tenure. Now, we know that Solomon started off well. He desired wisdom from God. That's very commendable. And so he had received the charge from his father David. And so he started off on the right foot. But notice this, towards the end of his reign, 1 Kings chapter 11, the Word of God says, but, it doesn't start off good there. When right off the bat it says, but, so we know it's coming, it's not going to be good. But King Solomon loved many strange women, meaning foreigners, unsaved. Not Jewish, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, okay? And so foreign women with their own religion, their own gods. And in fact, he didn't just love them a little bit on the side when he was embarrassed about it. No, he flaunted it and he went full tilt. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, God specifically told them, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. So don't do it. But Solomon, with all his wisdom, and by the way, he knew he was wrong. He just chose to sin. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives, no surprise, turned away his heart. Even though when he was young and tender and God was so blessed with Solomon's request, not for gold, not for glory, but for wisdom. God was so blessed with Solomon's pure intent when God came to him in a dream that God gave him gold and glory anyway, okay? But towards the end of his life, What a sad note he ends on, verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now David sinned like anyone else, but David always had a heart of the God. And David, yep, he disobeyed like any child of God would, but he always repented. And he always came back to God, his father, but not Solomon. Solomon started right, but he did not end right. And so was Solomon like father, like son? No, he wasn't. David, again, was far from the perfect dad, but David really, really loved God. Solomon didn't. And so just a reminder, just because we start off right doesn't mean that we can just put it in cruise control. Doesn't mean that we can just autopilot. We have to always, daily, take up our cross. Deny ourselves and follow Jesus. Always examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And again, Solomon didn't choose to, well, he indirectly did, okay? But it was the sin of compromising and associating with the wives that he should not have that turned his heart away from God, okay? And so sin will always turn us away from God. Doesn't matter who we are, even if we're the king, okay? No one is immune to the temptations of sin. We all get tempted. And it's only when we stay true to the Lord and love the Lord and be faithful to the Lord that we can please him all the days of our life, okay? And so this is just a sad commentary for Solomon. So Solomon, no, he was not like his father. Now, who was Solomon's son? Rehoboam. Was Rehoboam like his father? What do you think? Was Rehoboam like his father? Good king? Bad king? How many say good king? How many say bad king? All right. I got one taker. All right, let's find out. Let's find out. Okay, so let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. This is speaking about Rehoboam. Now, it speaks about him elsewhere too, but this gives a little bit more information for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. So, that's Solomon, now it's Rehoboam. He comes on the scene 40 years later, after the reign of Solomon is done. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Let's go to verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and then verse 13. Now look at what it says here. Everyone there? 2 Chronicles 12, 13. So, King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. After his dad Solomon had passed. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, specifically in the temple that Solomon built. Okay, and this is of note because it's going to get defaced later on. It's very sad. And his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitess. But look at verse 14. And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And so he was an evil king. What's worse, in fact, he started off evil. If you go to verse 1, same chapter, go back to verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established a kingdom and had strengthened himself. And so once he was established as a new king over Solomon, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Now, this is so tragic. Again, just to put it in context, now Solomon, because in fact of how much Solomon went away from God at the end of his life, because Solomon turned from God to idolatry, God punished Solomon by saying that he's going to give the kingdom to his servant, Nebat, and of course, his son Jeroboam, okay? Because of his promise, because of God's promise to David, God will retain Judah, the southern tribe, the southern kingdom, to the house of David. Okay, and so at the end of Solomon's reign, that was when the kingdom was going to be divided. 10 tribes to the north, the northern kingdom known as Israel, the southern kingdom known as Judah, the capital tribe of Judah, the capital is Jerusalem. Benjamin was in there as well. So you have the 2 tribes and the 10 tribes, okay? And so Rehoboam now, he has established himself, all of, you know, the southern tribe has come to him, and so the dust is settling. He is the first king in the divided kingdom, okay? Before this, Solomon, David, and Saul, it was all 12 tribes united. This is the divided kingdom. And the first thing he does when in office, okay, the first thing he does when on the throne is he forsook the law of the Lord. How sad. How sad. So he was even worse than his dad. His dad started off good, ended not good. And so now Rehoboam, he starts off evil. And so and that was just how it is. Just went downhill from there. And so now what about Rehoboam's son? His son is Abijam. Was he like his father? Any guesses? Who say Abijam was good king? Yeah, take a stab at it. How many say he was a bad king? Maybe, okay, yep, half. Well, let's find out. Okay, so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings, so back from Chronicles to 1 Kings. And again, a lot of back and forth here, but again, this does some good backstory for us, gives us a lot of meat to what we have to look at today. 1 Kings chapter 14, let's look at Abijam. 1 Kings 14, let's go to verse 31. Verse 31, 1 Kings 14, verse 31. And says here, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers, so now he passes on, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitess, and Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. And then chapter 15, keep going. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, that's in Israel's side, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Jerusalem, just only as a timestamp. And so verse 2, 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. The idea here is a granddaughter of Absalom. But look at verse 3. So what about Abijam? And he walked in all the sins of his father. Boo. So he was a bad king. All right. Thank you for participating. Okay, I appreciate that. Just, you know, it's okay to get wrong. And that's the whole point. Which he had done before him. Again, so he's an evil king. Why? And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Again, so he was a wicked king. Now the Bible tells us specifically why, right? Because his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. It's a matter of the heart, his own relationship with God. Now, by the way, but look at verse 4. That's God's grace in verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Now, so it looks like we have Rehoboam, bad king, and then you have his son, Abijam, bad king. So it looks like father like son, right? What about the next king, Abijam's son? His name is Asa. What do you think? Do you think he's like his father? Like father, like son? Who says he's a bad king? Who says he's 180, a good king? Yeah, some of you might recognize the name Asa, so let's find out together. Let's go to verse 12, same chapter, finally. Let's skip down to verse, chapter 15. We are in 15, so let's go to verse 8. Verse 8, so skip down to verse 8. And so Abijam passes on. Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. For time's sake, let's go to verse 11. And Asa did that which was right, woohoo, yes, in the eyes of the Lord, as did David, his father. Yeah, amen, what a blessing. And again, as a new Christian, and even as a, even as today, you kind of forget, well, which king is this, good or bad, and you kind of hold your breath as you read it, like, oh, okay, he's a good king. And then, and sometimes, you never quite know what you're going to get. And so Asa was, Asa was a really, really good king, really, really good dad, really, really good son. And so look at verse 12. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. So purged the sin out. Removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And so he took away dad's favorite idol, grandpa's favorite idol, and said, no, this is not what God wants. And also Maacah, his mother, this is grandmother, even her he removed from being queen. She was the queen king because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. Wow. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, look at what God says. Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Perfect, obviously, he's not sinless, but he was God-fearing. Okay, if you want to use New Testament terms, you would say that he's saved. Okay, he's a believer, okay? He certainly sins, but he loves God. He loves the Lord, he's saved, okay? So his heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. In other words, he was faithful. You know, that's wonderful. Now, what about Asa's son? What do we think? If I tell you who it is, that might give it away. What about Asa's son? Good king or bad king? Good son, good dad, bad son, bad dad. What do you think? How many say bad? Everyone's shy now. Not too. How many say good? All right, his name is Jehoshaphat. Say, oh, we know Jehoshaphat. Okay, so his son is Jehoshaphat. Asa's son is Jehoshaphat. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And so let's go back to Chronicles, Kings, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and then chapter 17. So this is Asa's son. Asa's son is Jehoshaphat, and so some of us are familiar with that name. 2 Chronicles 17. And the word of God says, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. So he strengthened the territory. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because his dad was Asa. No, it doesn't say that. Because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel, the northern kingdom. Okay, the northern kingdom. And so Jehoshaphat was a godly king. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, now there's a pattern again forming here. You have Asa, good king, and then like father, like son. So Jehoshaphat, good king. Hey, that's great. So maybe like father, like son, right? Wrong, right? Because who was Jehoshaphat's son? Jehoshaphat's son was Jehoram. Okay, now we don't need to remember these names, okay? But the principle, I hope it comes forth through us very clearly. Jehoshaphat's son, you would really, really hope, maybe I would assume would be godly because he's such a godly dad. Okay, and so, but Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, was wicked. In fact, not only was he wicked, we'll see how wicked. Let's go to chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 21. So sadly, he was a bad king. But this might shock you. Okay, this is certainly the stories in Chronicles are not rated G. And this is very, very sad what we're going to read. So get ready for this. So chapter 21, let's go to verse 1. 2 Chronicles 21. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his father, so he's passed on, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, so they are the brothers, Azariah, and Jehiel, and Zechariah, and Azariah, and Michael, and Sephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold. What a nice dad. That's sweet. No, dad loved his boys. And of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. So the dad even gave him cities. Okay, son, you have this city. Son, you have this city now. Reign good. You know, be a godly example. Be a goodly man. Do unto the Lord. He will never forsake thee nor leave thee. Okay, just imagine just good Jehoshaphat, good dad, right? And so he's giving to his sons. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram. Right? Because he was his firstborn, the firstborn. So naturally, Jehoram was the firstborn. He gets the king. He gets to be king. But look at verse 4. Now, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself. And what did he do once he was king? And slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. That's nuts. That's crazy. So Jehoram, once he became king, I mean, dad honored him. He was the oldest, so he becomes king. That's how it's meant to be. But to secure his throne that none of his brothers could ever become king, what does he do? He kills them. He kills his brothers. I can't even wrap my mind around that. A goodly dad, a God-fearing dad, and such a wicked son. Verse 5, Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, which is never a flattering thing, okay? It's always, okay, because Israel always had bad kings, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. That was a red flag, right? Maybe one of the brothers, when Jehoram was getting married, and said, yeah, I'm going to get married. Oh, great. Well, who are you getting married to? Well, Ahab's daughter. And like, ooh. Now, brother, big brother Jehoram, are you sure you want to do that? She's, that's Jezebel's girl. Jezebel, her name is Baal, right in there, okay? I mean, they're wicked people. And you want to marry her daughter, Ahab's daughter? Said, yeah, and you can just imagine the family drama. And maybe Jehoram thought, well, you don't honor me now when I become king. I'm going to give it to you. Who knows, okay? All this drama plays out, but just Jehoram just goes off the deep end. He's an evil son, an evil dad, an evil king. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So sad. He had a goodly heritage, but he was an evil, evil man. But look at God's grace, by the way. Verse 7 is bonus. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David. He could have. Because of the covenant, the promise, which is a one-sided contract. David's house, certainly if it was a regular contract, it would have been broken by their sin. But it's a covenant, a promise of God that cannot be broken even with their sin, which is so evident here. That he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. So God was still merciful and retained them the kingdom, which they had just, now they lost the northern kingdom, but they still had the one tribe, Judah, okay, the main tribe. And so this is Jehoram. I mean, just how wicked. So now how often, now we get to see this pattern. As I read the scriptures, like, wait, how come, I mean, how common is it that you have goodly dads and wicked sons, and then you also have wicked dads and then goodly sons? I mean, how often is that? I mean, how common is it? Actually, it's quite common. It's very common. All right. In fact, fast forward with me 100 years, about 5 reigns worth of kings. So 100 years, fast forward with me. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Now, this is Jotham. Okay, this is Jotham. Now, he's a good king. Okay, he's Jotham. He's a good king like his grandpa. Okay, but let's go to 2 Chronicles. We are there. Let's go to chapter 27. Chapter 27, because this trend does not change, is all I'm saying. It does not change. For sake of time, I can't go through all the kings, okay? But just to get us this theme that we understand, because down through history, these are just the kings, but even in my family, in your family, this theme persists. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 27. So this is speaking about Jotham. This is about 100 years later. Verse 1 says, Jotham was 25 when years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, I believe the priest. And he did that which was right. So he's a good king in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. So his father was also right. That's fantastic. So good king, good king. What about his son? What about his son? Let's go to chapter 27, verse 9. Let's go to the end of the chapter, verse 9. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, don't look ahead. How many say he's a good king? Ahaz. Good king? How many say he's a bad king? Yeah, all right. I mean, certainly that's the point of my sermon, right? But, okay, so let's find those. So chapter 28. And we'll keep going. Verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Well, that's pretty bad. In fact, it gets worse. Ahaz, here we'll see, is super wicked. Verse 3, moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire. And so he sacrificed his children, burned them alive to his false gods after the abominations of the heathen. So he followed the heathen practices, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And It was quite a common practice among the heathen nations that they would sacrifice their children to try to gain God's favor selfishly. Okay, and so that was what they did. And, you know, he did the same thing here. Ahaz did that too. By the way, God is completely opposite, because God doesn't call us to sacrifice anything for him. We are to live for him. But it's God that sent Jesus that was sacrificed for us. This is our true God. And so what a wicked man Ahaz. Just heartbreaking to read this after a godly dad and godly grandpa, right? And so he comes out of left field, does a 180. Now, what about his son? What about his son? What do you think Ahaz's son? Good son or evil son? Apparently one that wasn't killed. Okay, he somehow was spared. Okay, but good son or bad son? What do you think? How many say good son? How many say bad son? All right, actually his son, here's a clue, Hezekiah. Didn't see that coming. Okay, let's go down to verse 7. Okay, look at verse 7 of chapter 28. Chapter 28. And then we are there, but let's go to verse 27. And Ahaz slept with his fathers. In fact, notice this. They were so ashamed. Even the people, I mean, the people follow where the king goes, and the king worships idols. The people tend to do that too, okay? But even the people of Judah knew that their king was exceptionally wicked. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulcher of the kings of Israel. I mean, even the people knew that, man, this guy, he's his own kind. I mean, we'll bury him over here. But they couldn't honor him because he was just too wicked. I mean, he burned his children alive. And so they buried him elsewhere. And then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Hezekiah, we know he's one of the godliest kings ever, right? He reinstated temple worship. He even brought a national revival back to Jerusalem, you know. And where did that come from? His dad was so wicked. It certainly wasn't his dad. And so over and over in Scripture, we see wicked dad, godly son, or godly dad, wicked son. I mean, we see it. It's kind of not to say random. But the one factor has always been their personal relationship with God that supersedes everything else. Okay, in fact, so what does Scripture say about Hezekiah? Let's go to chapter 32, still in 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and then verse 32. So chapter 32, verse 32, God says this about Hezekiah. Now, the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in a vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. We don't have to turn there, but I'll read from the book of the kings of Israel. In 2 Kings 18:5, it says about Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And so Hezekiah, again, from the context of the divided kingdom, he was the most faithful one out of all the kings in Judah, trusting the Lord. What a faithful man of God. That's awesome. Praise God. Amen. Now, what about Hezekiah's son? Bom, bom, bom. What do you think? Good king or bad king? Bad. Because now you have Manasseh. He's one of the most wicked ever that comes on the scene. Let's go to verse... Well, we'll keep reading here. Verse 33. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers. They buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchers of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death. And Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, young king. And he reigned 55 years, one of the longest reign, maybe the longest reign ever. 55 years in Jerusalem, long time on the throne. But sadly, look at this. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Look at what he does here. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. All the idol worships that Hezekiah had torn down, guys, don't do this. Manasseh says, guys, you're doing it. And so he builds the idols, and he reared up altars for Balaam, made groves, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven, okay? So astrology, I mean, all the false gods, served them. Also, he built altars in the house of the Lord. Remember, way back when God put his stamp of approval in Jerusalem, God said, my presence, my name will be at Jerusalem, specifically in the temple that Solomon built, that very same place. He built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Can you just imagine the temple of God, where it's just sanctified by the presence of God and the tabernacle the Ark of the Covenant, you know, kind of toss that aside, you know, and then just build a false altar to Satan, to Balaam, you know, to just a false god. So sad. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he caused the children, his children, same thing, to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. So he reinstituted children's sacrifice. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. I mean, on and on and on, just very, very wicked. Now, what kind of son did he have? He had an evil son, okay? I'm not going to keep torturing us. No, he had an evil son, but I want to see this. Let's go to chapter 33, and then let's go to verse 20. Let's go down to verse 20, same chapter. Let's go to verse 20. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Now, Amon was also bad. Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, just 2 years. And here's why. It was cut short. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. But we'll see one thing that Amon doesn't do that Manasseh also does here. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. And so what's so amazing that even though Manasseh was so wicked, and God punished him by allowing him to be captured, and when he was taken prisoner by his enemies, Manasseh actually humbled himself, asked God's forgiveness, and repented, and God forgave him. And Manasseh knew that God was the Lord. That's amazing. Shows the grace of God to save even to the uttermost. Now, his son did not do that. Amon did not do that. That's what he's talking about here. But Amon trespassed more and more. So much so that in verse 24, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. Don't kill the Lord's anointed. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. So two bad dads, and then now you get a good son, Josiah. And most of us know Josiah, he's the last goodly son before the fall of Judah. But let's go to verse 1 of chapter 34. So now Josiah is a good son. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Now that's young. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. That's wonderful. It kind of goes on and says what he did as he matured. But he always sought the Lord, his God. Now, what's so amazing is all this back and forth with good sons and bad sons. Why? Because God is telling us it is absolutely not like father, like son. The world just says like father, like son. But my friends, don't take it for granted. If you have a godly heritage, don't take it for granted, because you still need to personally choose the Lord, or you will fall into wickedness. Anyone can sin. Doesn't matter how goodly of a pedigree you come from. You still need to trust Jesus Christ, and you still need to seek and find the Lord. You still need to serve the Lord. On the other side, if you have a hard life, a rough childhood, don't despair. I mean, your dad could be like Manasseh. Wait, one of the bad kings, okay? You can still be a Hezekiah, right? Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are. God is always right there. but you just need to trust and repent in him. Remember, when we are saved, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What determines if we are a godly person or not is not the type of parent we have, but our relationship with the Heavenly Father. He is the perfect Father. I know of godly parents who have honestly, humbly, zealously tried to train up their child in the way the child should go. But guess what? The child doesn't want it. Training up the child, by the way, that is a commandment of God. Train up a child in the way he should go. That is only half the equation. The child must also submit to said instruction. Proverbs 1, verse 8, 9, 10. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, the context assumes that they're training up a child, okay? But the child needs to also receive it and submit to it. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't consent. Parents, yes, need to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is the commandment. But the children also need to what? Honor mom and dad. Both got to happen. And non-compliance by one party does not absolve the other. I know of godly individuals who came from broken homes that, statistically speaking, they should have no reason to be the way they are. Broken homes, abused as a child, forsaken by mom, forsaken by dad, grew up, you know, born a drug baby, whatever the case, but now they're serving God because God is a father to the fatherless. And God desires a personal relationship with all of us. Don't take for granted if we have goodly heritage. Be thankful for it. But I still need to choose God, myself. Don't despair if we had a rough childhood, my friends. God can still use you and bless you and multiply you. That is the encouragement for us. Today, of course, being Father's Day, the true Father's Day is to honor God, our Heavenly Father. This is our Father's world. Now, I'll leave you this one thought, like Father, like Son. If you are saved and God is our Heavenly Father, then the question to us is, like Father, like Son, am I like my Heavenly Father? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord. And what a reminder. This kings, good kings, bad kings, good dad, bad dad, good son, bad son, Lord. It all comes down to our relationship with you, Father. And so, Father, today, help us to examine ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that you are the Heavenly Father of all who confess Jesus Christ, believe in him as your Lord and Savior, that you are not just our God, you're our Father. And Father, help us to be like you, to be like Jesus. And Father, we thank you that no matter how hopeless a circumstance might be, at the same time, Father, we can't blame it on our parents, we can't blame it on our circumstance, because Father, you're ready to hear as long as we are willing to seek you and humble ourselves. And so, Father, we ask that you bless now this invitation time. May hearts be stirred. May we honor mom and dad. But Father, may we always have a personal walk with you. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed.